Welcome to the Beer Healer Interviews. I am your host, Chris Lukianenko, and I scour this big brand land of ours, looking under fermenters and behind mash tuns to find the best beer stories to share with you. The Beer Healer Interviews is now available on all major podcast services. If you like the show and want to help out, can I ask you to simply rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts or your preferred podcast service? Just leave a few words and a rating and the podcast gods will do the rest. By doing this, you'll help others to discover the show more easily and hopefully get more people interested in this great industry that we call craft beer. Well, way back in episode 6, today's guest jumped onto a very dodgy internet connection with me and did a really nice thing for me as a beginner podcaster. He gave me some of his time to tell his great craft beer story. That guy was Kiwi Scott Taylor, co-owner of Deep Creek Brewing. Since that interview, Deep Creek has gone on to win Champion Medium International Brewery at the 2019 Australian International Beer Awards. Now, I don't want to claim any part of their winning that trophy, but it does take a team to win a championship, as I have heard this week in the Netflix series on the Chicago Bulls, so maybe I played a small part. But anyway, I was taking a look back at the previous guests of the show this week and shooting out a few emails just to check in on people, and I thought it'd be great to see how Scott and the Deep Creek lads have been going. So, welcome back to the Beer Healer Interviews, Scott Taylor.
Thank you, Chris. How you going, mate?
Oh, mate, I'm surviving, getting through this. Looking forward to maybe one day getting out and doing a few bits and pieces, but doing the right thing for now.
Yeah, good. Hopefully you got heaps of beer there with you.
Yeah, I'm going okay, actually. I've actually found a few little ones in the back of the beer fridge in the garage just this week that I had forgotten about. So I've been pulling out a couple of, I don't know if you call them rarities or whales or whatever, but enjoying a few different ones.
Yeah,
so
nice.
That's all good. Now, I've got to say, mate, you are sounding fantastic this time around. So whatever was going on between us last time is obviously fixed.
That's good. I got upgraded my internet, maybe.
That's good. And no one in New Zealand is watching Netflix today, so that's great. We'll get through this. So now, look, for those that are listening and that don't know much about Deep Creek Brewing, you can head back to episode 6 and find out about this the backstory here. But today's episode is all about pretty much catching up. So we're not going to go back across the backstory yet again. So, but anyway, look, mate, I'm glad you were able to find time to jump back on today, because it's been 18 months, and that's a long time in any business. So, mate, what's been happening?
Oh, making some beer, you know.
That's good.
Selling some beer.
Yep.
It's been a pretty crazy year and a half. Jeez, is that how far it's been?
I think so, yeah.
I bumped into you, obviously, at the AOBA
Correct.
Awards.
Yes, yep.
That was
a big night.
Big night. So, yeah, for the second – last year was a massive year for us. Back in 2017, I think the first time we talked, we had taken out Champion Small International Brewery at the AIBAs for the first time. And in 2019, as you just said, we took out Champion Medium, so we jumped up a level. Managed to take it out again. So for those who don't know, it's just based on volume, small, medium, or large.
Yep.
Small as
un- Hold on, have you won it 2 years in a row?
So we miss out on in 2018. We came we were in the top three and lost to Keridu from New Zealand. You know, if one of our silvers had been gold, you never know. We could have taken it up 3 years in a row.
Fair enough.
But we took it out again in 2019. So that was the start of a really big year for us. We took out a bunch of other awards throughout the year. At those awards, one of our Pilsen won Champion International Lager, which was absolutely phenomenal, beating out a lot of the big boys, the macro breweries.
You love that.
Little old us from down in New Zealand beating out those guys. It was amazing.
Nice.
Took out a New Zealand IPA competition over here in New Zealand.
That's a big one to win, isn't it? Because IPAs in your part of the world are red hot.
Yeah, they really are. So
bragging rights.
That was with a collab with a great little brewery down from Wellington called Fork Brewing. So shout out to those guys. They make amazing beers. At the New Zealand Beer Awards, we took out Champion Beer of New Zealand with one of our beers.
Which beer won that?
So we've started up a barrel-aged sour program.
Yep.
And so we made a Creek, barrel-aged cherry sour.
Yep.
We called it Deep Creek.
Nice. Look at you. Clever.
It named itself. That's amazing. It.
Fair enough.
Not only did it win trophy for its category, but then it won the trophy of all trophies and took out champion beer of New Zealand. So kind of goes to show that the beer industry in New Zealand is pretty healthy when a barrel-aged cherry sour can take out a champion beer over something like any kind of IPA, hazy or West
Coast. It's such a pointy end beer, isn't it, that you don't often see that?
No, that's exactly it. That's not an everyday person's beer, but the judges obviously found it to be the best of its style. That's
the kind of beer I might find in the back of the beer fridge in the garage. Absolutely.
A massive shout out to Johan, one of our brewers, who that's his little baby, his project he's been working on. It's called our Wildwood Project, and he just brewed this phenomenal barrel-aged cherry sour.
Johan, that sounds like a real old-school brewer's name, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's Swedish.
Swedish.
Johan.
Well, you guys also did a pretty good job in the Kiwi Hottest 100. You nabbed position four with my favourite beer of yours, which is Mr. Miyagi.
I might have been drunk when I named that.
You also grabbed 12, 18, 29, and 57, and the third most beers of any brewery behind Garage Project and Behemoth. I'd say you've had a pretty bloody good year.
Took out number 100 as well.
100 as well, was it? Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah,
my research is shit, isn't it?
Wow. Yeah, we did pretty well. Obviously, to take out fourth behind some of those phenomenal beers, I mean,
Strong showing.
Panhead Supercharge is an institution in New Zealand and Australia.
Yeah.
So obviously that's always up there. And the Garage Project always have a lot in the top 10. So to really – and that the Trillium collab that they did was absolutely phenomenal.
I didn't get a chance to try that one. I wanted to. I really wanted to.
Such a great beer.
Yeah.
So, to take out fourth – we were blown away. It was fantastic. That beer took out, I think, 12th the year before, but it had only been released for about a month and a half when the Gabs Hottest 100 was done the year before.
Yep.
It jumped a few spots, which is, really satisfying, obviously.
Yeah. I was spewing about that Trillium beer because I visited Trillium, must be 18 months or so ago now, maybe a year. I don't know. God, I don't know. Where the days are going, but it was at least 12 months ago I visited there and had some really great experiences with some of their beers. And when I saw that one come out, I was like, yep, I want to get that. But I don't know whether it actually hit the shores of Australia, unfortunately. But
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure it was quite a limited run that they did.
Hey, I was looking at the stats. You know, you get Crafty Pint does the analysis of all the stats of the Hottest 100s and stuff. And they said that all the beers in the top 100 were from the Northern Island. What's the deal with that?
North
Island.
Is
there no breweries in the South?
Yeah, there's some great breweries in the South Island.
What happened?
I don't know. Something in the water up where we are at the moment, mate.
Maybe.
Yeah, so, I mean, where we are north of Auckland, people always say that Wellington is the craft beer capital of New Zealand. I've held the crown for a while, but I think North Auckland's coming for it. It might have even snagged it. There's phenomenal beers coming out from everywhere in New Zealand, but some of my favourite breweries are up north of Auckland actually at the moment. People like McLeod's up in Waipu, Sawmill, Eight Wired, you've got Halitau, you've got us. There's just so many amazing ones. And then down in Auckland as well, you obviously Behemoth and Epic and Batch and some just amazing breweries. Yeah. Down obviously Wellington Garage Project is probably the most well known, but then they've got such phenomenal startup guys as well. Like the likes of Maiden and Fork Brewing and some of these guys. So I'm not taking anything away from the South Island. I'm just saying there's just some phenomenal quality coming out of the North Island at the moment.
All I'm hearing is that I need to get back to New Zealand once all the travel bans and everything's are all lifted and do a bit of a beer tour, I think. Bloody hell.
Oh, it's a great thing. I mean, I guess the one thing is I hope that this lockdown doesn't affect that too much. And I know as small business owners, it's very, you know, cash flow can sometimes be a massive thing. And for the smaller guys that might be really dependent on their keg sales, they'll be hurting right now.
Yeah.
So just really hope that they can keep everything going and keep on pushing out the beers that they do, because it'd be a real shame to see the New Zealand beer scene lose some of these phenomenal brands that have popped up, you know.
Yeah. How is life in New Zealand with Jacinta at the moment? I heard her described this week as the world's most effective leader right now. Gee, he must be riding all-time popularity.
She's had a pretty good run. Pretty good run. She's had to deal with some she's had to deal with some pretty terrible stuff. And she's dealt with that very well. So I suppose that's what I mean by having a good run.
Is she as popular inside New Zealand as she is outside? Because everybody outside seems to fucking love her. But
yeah, I know, right? Oh, there's a lot of I know business owners who maybe are more national or right wing based that will give a shit. But I think begrudgingly they realise that she has made some pretty tough calls pretty quickly.
It's working.
And yeah, it is. Like, we've got a very, very low rate of infection and death. Not sure what the number is up to now, but about 12 deaths maybe. But the new cases every week are going down. Every day are going down. So
yeah,
this coming Tuesday after the weekend, they extended our lockdown period by another week. So this coming Tuesday is when we reduce from level 4 to level 3. But then
what does that mean for you?
Well, level 3 is very, very similar to level 4. There's only a few extra services that can go back, like some construction, forestry, a few things like that. But realistically, she is saying that majority of people still stay home, still self-isolate. And they're doing that for another 2 weeks at that level just to be 100% sure that there's no more cases. Then obviously it's level 2, and then whether or not the bars are allowed to reopen, but with a reduced capacity for more distance and all that, it's, the hospitality sector has taken a beating over this, you know.
You guys yourselves, you've got the Brews and Eats venue, which obviously is shut down for now.
Yeah,
you been hit there?
Well, for us, we actually, no one really knows it, but we sold it under license back in about December. We wanted to concentrate on blowing our brewery up, and so we sold it so we could take
Are you saying that I've got a scoop here, have I?
Yeah, pretty much. So we took that money so we could increase the size of the brewery and just the amount of beer that we're producing and get lots of nice new toys and stuff in there.
Yeah, cool.
I really feel for the guys, the owners there, with the timing of it all. But I mean, we're trying to support them as much as possible. We're because we've still got a brewery down in there. We're going to go back and brew some of our old beers in there, and hopefully do a release at the pub when we're allowed to. And then we had released like 4 new beers just before the lockdown, but it's actually now it's obviously hard to get them. We've tried to get them into grocery because over here you're allowed to sell beer in supermarkets.
Yep.
I think you're allowed to in one or two states in Australia. I'm not
yeah,
just
it's a bit
sure.
funny. Yeah, definitely not in Tasmania, but yeah, I think Victoria, New South Wales have got sort of a bit of an arrangement where you've got a bottle shop kind of within the supermarket, not actually on the.
Yeah, well, ours is literally just there's a big alcohol right section in the supermarket, and you
like,
just go
like
and
in
buy
the States,
booze.
You guys,
So I mean, we can buy. Or we can sell some of our beers into there, and we have, and our distributors here have done a great job for us, Hancock's. There are, you know, there's obviously it's harder for people to get their hands on new release stuff, you know. So, we're going to do a bit of a party afterwards for them at Browns Bay. Obviously, where people are still social distancing nicely, basically re-release all these beers if people want to come down and try them. But, yeah, these are the challenges that everyone's going through. People are just trying to pivot and try new ways to get beer out there. We've just launched our web store, for example.
I was going to ask you about your online sales, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, it's something that we had been wanting to do for ages. And I started the process sort of back in January. But got busy doing other stuff and never kind of finished it off. And then obviously this came about, and I've got it. Got it working. We launched it yesterday, and it's just gone absolutely ballistic. So
cool.
Yeah, flying by the seat of our pants. Just was short on the ground in the brewery at the moment, anyway. So I just piled heaps more work on top of the main. Yeah.
So what are the other local brewers doing over there? Is there like a bit of an all in together type vibe where you, I don't know, helping out, collaborating, selling mixed cases by region or anything like that?
It's pretty hard, obviously, with not being able to physically, go and pack stuff with people or, but there's some great providers that are actually doing that kind of thing. People like, Beer Jerk, I don't know if you've heard of them. They get beer and doing mixed cases and,
all right.
Sending them out to people. A lot of the online sales is actually driven by the breweries themselves. Or obviously then some of the liquor chains like the Glengarry's or the Liquorlands and some of these guys, Fine Wine Delivery Company, a few of these guys have web sales available as well. So I think everyone's really – their buying habits have changed a lot, and they are really looking for that online sale now. And I actually don't think that's going to change. Even when this goes back, people are going to be used to it. So
yeah,
they're probably going to continue looking online.
You know, they say in times like this that innovation springs up. Have you seen anything in the New Zealand market that's really surprised you or made you think to yourself, damn, I wish I'd thought of that?
Oh, an online mixed case box release that I saw that Behemoth did was pretty cool. Like you could only get this new beer in their mix pack that they're selling online.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, cool.
What I did like is it's something that we're going to possibly jump on is it's not necessarily just within New Zealand. This is from overseas. It's the same branding can, but you put your logo on it, it's basically like we're all in this together type sort of branding.
Yeah.
See if I can find it. Actually, one of the guys sent it through to me the other day.
Is it like a resilience type beer where you've all brewed the same beer and
pretty much? Yeah.
Yeah. We've had a bit of that in Australia for the bushfires, and then there was also a resilience beer that went global, didn't it? Something like that.
Yeah, I think it's that one, and we might look at doing something like that, and then you donate part of the profits to make sure that you're helping the hospitality sector or whatever it is. So,
yeah, we've seen a bit of that sort of stuff over here too, where you, I think there's one going around at the moment, which is looking after the frontline workers, where you buy a six pack for a frontline worker, that sort of thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
cool.
Hard to get new products out necessarily.
Yeah,
when you're in lockdown though, and obviously this all came around pretty damn quickly. There's people who are doing great things out there, and helping out their industries and the people who are on the front lines for us all. So,
and how have you seen your social media sort of go? I think you've got something like, I don't know if it's about 8,000 followers on Instagram. Have you seen people posting pictures of your beers from home sort of increase and therefore your interaction with them via the chats and the comments and that sort of thing increase as well?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, we get quite a lot of interaction online anyway. So, yes, it is a bit of an increase. But we actually, as I said, quite a bit of interaction across New Zealand and Australia anyway. A few of the threads I see a bit more. There's a new one, Saving the World with Couch Beers. there's a lot of that kind of stuff on there. It is what people are doing, though. It is. Yeah. I know. I'm doing it. It's working from home. Yeah, because it's beer o'clock. I'm having a few more beers than maybe I otherwise would. But it's the new norm. You know, checking on Zoom or a house party or even just a messenger call with your mates and having a few virtual beers with them in a virtual pub.
I've got another one tonight. I think I mentioned it last week in the interview, but tonight at 8 o'clock, about 9 or 10 of us will jump on again and basically spend 2, 3, 4 hours just bagging the shit out of each other.
Yeah, nice.
Having a beer. So,
yeah, I mean, we're taking that kind of concept, and we're doing about to launch next week. We're doing a mixed tasting pack online that is. What we're going to do is we're going to do a virtual tasting so where people can jump on like a Zoom call with me and the head brewer and stuff. But we're going to schedule it for a week in advance. So if they want to jump on it, they can buy that mixed case from us and get it shipped to their house. And then at that time, then they can jump on and do a tasting with us and ask questions and all that kind of stuff. So
nice.
You know, Got to try and have a bit of interesting things to do in this time as well.
There's been a bit of that in Australia too. The Brews News guys that do a podcast over here, they've been doing an every night sort of one with a few drinks, which has been great to sort of listen into and
getting
a few people on. It's only like a half an hour, but it's just like, you know, beer o'clock. I know tonight Sterling from Bolter, he's jumping on with Scotty the brewer. To do something themselves as well. So, I like that sort of thing, just giving you, you know, that 5 to 6 o'clock where you're just going to crack a beer. You're not quite ready to, you know, get into dinner or anything yet, but you finish work. It's a nice way to sort of wind down, I reckon.
Absolutely. And, catching up with a couple of my mates just online doing something, I even commented to them the other day, what did it take us a pandemic to actually do this? Because we live in different cities, right? And it's like, this technology's been around for ages, but, you know, we just haven't made the time to do this. And it's the same thing with these kind of podcasts and Beer O'Clock. There's, if you really want to be able to reach people, we could have been doing this for the past, 5 years, but not necessarily that people have been doing it.
Yeah, so, we weren't quite in the mindset, were we?
Yeah, but you know, this has kind of forced us into it, and now I think a lot of people are realizing the power of it, being able to communicate with people. And now I'm sitting here in Stanmore Bay and chatting with you and Tassie, and it's
awesome.
Punching it out over. So,
well, I think my wife's getting sick of me disappearing on a Friday night. She said to me this morning, she said, "Are you going to the virtual pub again tonight?" I was like, "Yes, I am."
I have no idea. Wouldn't it actually be amazing if you had virtual reality, headset, and it could actually be like a real virtual reality pub?
Yeah.
You've got your own beer there that you can pour.
I'm taking the opportunity to introduce my mates to some good beers. A couple of them like good beers. A couple of them just haven't moved on and started drinking great beers yet, but I'm working on them slowly.
You're always going to have those, mate.
That's okay.
And that's the beauty of it. The way I see it is, there's something for everyone. And that's what this entire industry is about. That's why we all start making and drinking good beer, craft beer, is because some of us were sick of certain flavors that we were told that beer was, and we wanted other flavors.
Yeah.
Other people just love those flavors. There's nothing wrong with it. You know?
No, I mean, I
find myself going back to a lager or a pilsner quite a lot. You know, I just think that sometimes people in the craft industry think that a lager is like the antichrist, you know. It's just like, I can't have a lager because you know, I drink big hoppy IPAs. No, it's the whole thing is, you know, appreciating all beer, I think.
Yep. So. I love a good lager at the moment. I really do. Absolutely. Yeah. And not everybody can drink AIBA gold medal award winning beers either, you know.
It's real hard when you've got low fills and, you know, from the canning line and you've got to take them home and drink them, and it's terrible.
You know where I'm going with this, because obviously this last week or so you've re-released the AIBA Gold Medal Award-winning 6.9% Nelson Sauvin Fresh Hop IPA.
It did indeed.
How was that whole process different for you this year in light of the C word?
The C bomb. Yeah. we luckily got all our hops just before the cutoff.
Ooh, lucky.
And so. That allowed us to brew it, but we actually had another lot scheduled because we make our own hop oil as well to make some crazy hop oil, hop oil IPAs, and we steam to sell them from Holcone Hops. So, but that shipment had to get cancelled because it was just after the New Zealand Hops had to cut it all off. So
it probably would have just sat on a dock, would it?
Yeah, so they basically, I think, must have palletized them all instead. But, we were lucky. We got it out just in time. There were a few other breweries I know that you know, didn't manage to get their fresh hop, so they couldn't do the fresh hop brew.
It sucks. And obviously everything's gone into cans this time, yeah?
Yeah. We did actually do about 20-odd kegs. And we've kept it in the chiller just so that we can, when this lockdown is over, you know, these good beer bars are going to need some draw cards.
Yeah.
You know, to draw people into them, right? So we figured, well, we'll still chuck some in keg, so that they've got something to say, hey, look, if you didn't manage to try it while you're on lockdown and you feel like getting out, we'll have a keg of you know, Deep Creek's fresh hop. Double gold medal award winning. It won a gold last year and it won a gold in 2017 as well.
Beautiful.
It's tasting fresh.
That's good. That's what you want.
Yeah, it's amazing, that. It's another banger, but I'm not sure if the AIBAs are going to even be going ahead this year. So,
well, yeah, I don't reckon. As soon as they're meant to be on in, 4 weeks' time, and nobody would have sent beer over yet, I don't reckon. So.
No, I mean, they could have postponed it, I know. But, for example, I know that the New Zealand Beer Awards have been cancelled this year.
Oh, completely cancelled?
Cancelled. Oh, yep, shit. They've cancelled 2020.
Oh, no.
They made that hard decision a couple of weeks back, I think.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you never know what the lay of the land's going to be like.
Yep. Yeah, no, fair enough. What about other kegs that you already had filled before everything got shut down? What did you do with that beer? Is it like gone out to all your family and friends, or have you been able to keep some, or maybe put some into a barrel?
Yeah, I've got a kegerator at home and I'm now getting very fat. You know, obviously, keeping it just in the chiller at work. We're pretty lucky in the fact that our keg stock wasn't. These are massive. There's a few products, obviously, that we were holding stock. I think maybe we've got about 250 to 300 kegs or so at the moment. Yep. We were due to, like, a lot of our hazy IPAs, because they were so popular, we were running really low on them. Which usually we might have had 50 to 100 odd kegs or something, you know. So there's a few things like that where we were actually just a bit fortuitous in the timing of it. But Yeah, we're looking at things, whether or not we do a few flagon fills for contactless delivery or any of that kind of stuff, maybe just around Auckland. Whether or not we can some of the beers, obviously, like our sours, our kettle sours, that bulletproof, they'll last. It's no problem. It's more the hoppy stuff.
Yep.
So, like a big Wisdom IPA is a case in point. We've got quite a few of those. And we're like, well, there's not really much you can do about it, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
I'd love to be able to sell beer by the keg to people who've got kegerators at home, but
it doesn't work that way.
Not sure many people are going to be able to do that because they won't have many mates to come around and help them drain the keg.
No, fair enough. But has this whole break-in proceedings allowed you and your business partners, you know, given you some time to maybe rethink things, maybe make a few tweaks to the beer lineup, maybe talk about, you know, what's going on with your brand, if it needs refreshing, or maybe focus more energy into the online sales, as you mentioned before, or maybe look at something else? Like, I know you put in some new tanks recently. Has this really said you, okay, line in the sand, now what?
Yeah, well, I mean, it really is like the world's on pause a little bit at the moment. Yeah. So, it is. We catch up daily, obviously. And we're always chatting about stuff. You've got to think about what it's going to be like post CBOM. So we have, you know, we talk about that, about what that's going to look like for us, making plans to move forward, making plans to, see where we're going to be in 6 months, let alone a year or 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, you get that time, but I've also been ridiculously busy getting our online store up and running. But then I've been redesigning our six packs because I do all our artwork and design stuff as well.
Oh, do you? I never knew that. All the intricate designs behind the, like, the hazy cans and that sort of thing, Mr. Miyagi and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, well, so like Mr. Miyagi, I got a tattoo artist to do that one, for example. Yep. But the new designs that are coming out on the Undercurrent and Lotus and Redwood.
Oh, yeah.
I've done regular beers. Yeah, I've done all those. I did,
cool.
For example, I did Beautiful Haze and Aloha and Waikiki and all those kind of ones. So that's a part of what I do as well.
Yeah, right, eh? That's pretty cool.
So I've been designing a new one. We've got a new Hazy Pale coming out. Called Haze. So you heard it
here first. Is it just called Haze? Man,
just call it what it is, yeah, right?
Fair enough. Fuck it, I can't be bothered. I'm just going to call it Haze. That's great.
Haze. My original name was going to be Blaze, but then when I looked at the artwork that I had done,
isn't it? Like Blaze it up. Yeah,
well, no, it was just after the Australian fires. I was like, I can't release a beer in Australia called Blaze. That would just be bad taste.
Yeah.
So we call it Haze, and it's just like hazy sunset sort of imagery. But
nice.
You heard it here first, actually.
That's two in one interview.
There you go, mate.
Scoops.
So that'll be released post lockdown.
Yep.
So I've been doing that and all those a bit of design stuff and just keeping ridiculously busy. Actually, yep. Haven't had a day off. Just keep on, apart from weekends, just keep on working straight through it.
Yeah.
So we keep ourselves busy. And one of the guys, Paul, he's basically staying at the brewery, and he's there full time while we're on lockdown at home, so that he can just keep an eye on all the beer and.
Yep.
Make sure production's still going.
He's got like a little bunk in the office or something.
Pull out beer if he needs to. Got a lot of beer, obviously, as well. So if he wants a beer, he's no problem.
Easy, yeah.
And he's running production, and so we've got a skeleton crew.
So you are still brewing then?
Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
Yep.
So no more than five people in the brewery at any one time, and so. we're brewing and packaging. We've sent out some containers to Australia, to the UK, to China.
Oh, good.
During this time as well. So, yeah, we're still still getting beer out there, which is amazing.
Yep.
And more than we can say for maybe some other some of our colleagues. Yep. We're doing all right.
It's one of those things like this is horrendous what's happened here, but if you can find a way just to tread water, pivot, do a few other things just to get yourself through, like that's when the great businesses on the other side will start to flourish, because you've spent the time, you know, really setting up for what's coming next. And it sounds like you're going all right there.
Yeah. You lose all your keg sales.
Yeah.
You lose all your liquor shop sales. Say 65% of your business or something like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty massive. But, you know, we've grown grocery sales by 30-odd%. We're trying to just, you know, keep the sales going and, you know, have new avenues like our online store and that kind of stuff, and, yeah, do what you can. So, as you say, pivot, move with it. We can come out the other side and some of those, you know, increased sales stay where they are, we might be better off in the end, you know?
Yeah.
So,
Oh, fair enough.
You never know. Try and look on the positives of it.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Well, mate, I better let you go. We've sort of run over time, and
you've got a fair bit
going on. But it was great to hear from you today. It's really great to hear that you are surviving, even though it is a bloody tough time. But look forward to seeing some of your beers over here in Tassie, because we do get your beers down here in Tassie. They're usually quite easy to find, which is great.
So, nice. That's good to know.
Yeah. So, mate, best of luck.
Yeah, well, we'll try and keep on pushing out some new stuff for you guys to keep everyone interested during lockdown. So
sounds good. Will the fresh hop?
The fresh hop, yeah. I think we've sent about 40 to 50-odd cases over to Australia.
Nice. Look out for that one then.
In the last shipment. So that'll be hitting shore soon. Obviously, it'll be pretty limited. But see if you can get your hands on some.
I'll have a crack. No worries.
All right, I hope you're staying safe, Chris, and your family's well and everything.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. I really hope you enjoyed the episode. If you have an interesting beer story and want to be a guest on the Beer Healer interviews, send me a message via my Facebook page. And once again, if you want to help out the show, a simple rate and review on Apple Podcasts or a follow, like, or share on any other podcast service will do the trick. I'll catch you soon.